When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
On a chilly November night in 1987, viewers in Chicago sat down for what they thought would be a normal evening of local news and sci-fi reruns. But what they got instead was something far stranger. A sudden flicker, a buzz of static, and then him. A man in a rubbery mask, bobbing and weaving before a swaying metal backdrop, his distorted voice crackling through the airwaves like a ghost in the machine. The hijacker's messages were bizarre, disjointed, and vaguely menacing, mocking television stations, corporations, and perhaps the very nature of mass media itself. For 90 seconds, the intruder took over WTTW's broadcast of Doctor Who, turning public television into a surreal and unsettling performance art piece, or a warning. This case file, tune in as we sift through the static and rewind the weird in The Max Headroom Signal Hijacking.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing Case File 362. I'm Braden.
I'm Max Headroom.
I'm Dan.
I'm Max Headroom.
I am Max
Headroom. We're all Max Headroom.
Yeah.
Are we even real?
Honestly, we're getting to that point now. It's getting.
We can almost clone ourselves and just have AI podcast for us.
I mean, there's argument for Max Headroom being like the first AI personality. It's almost like he's like VTubers before there were VTubers for me. And I, you know, full disclosure, before the show, we were talking about it. Zell and Braden did not remember Max Headroom at all.
Did not ring a bell when Dan's like, let's do the Max Headroom signal intrusion. I was like,
if I really wanted to, I probably could have played it as some kind of Mandela thing that we just made up. Like they'd probably be like, they probably would have believed me.
I would have.
It is Max Headroom was a like a bit of an icon, like the things I remember. It's a little bit before my time because Max Headroom, the character, 80s. Is definitely 80s. And it's like mid 80s. Like, so like I still would have been.
Dude, and the best part about the 80s, there's no record of anything from the 80s.
Yeah, and unless you've got a VHS
lost
player.
Lost in time, like, right?
Unless you've got a VHS player, and then it's like, or Betamax, I guess.
It's just stuff that's been ripped to the internet, but nothing was done live. People just, like, take a photo of a video, upload it to YouTube or something.
I think, we'll get to talk about that in the thing, because we're not just talking about Max Headroom. We're talking about the Max Headroom signal hijacking classic conspiracy. Which is a very, to me, it's like it's a pretty interesting case. Like you think it's just a little one-off kind of thing, but it gets a little bit more involved, is what I think.
And was TV in the '80s still like people were using a lot of rabbit ears?
It was broadcast TV,
right? So then that's how you could hijack the signal because I imagine it would be quite difficult to like hijack the signal now.
You had broadcast TV, which is, you had the antennas and everything. Yeah. And then along comes cable TV, which cable TV is essentially, it's like there's one antenna, one dish, and then they run cables from that dish to TVs, your box.
Hence that's how it works? TV,
pretty much, yeah.
Are you fucking, get the fuck out of here. That's how that works?
There's a central dish.
There's a super dish?
Yeah.
Anywhere, somewhere?
Well, there's not just one super dishes everywhere. Yeah. Then they run
but
a cable.
But then they would run a cable.
I had
from
no
there.
Idea. Yeah. I had no idea that's how that works. I honestly never even thought where the other end of the cable went to. I just came in my house, plug it in, and there it is. I had no idea. I thought the TV was in the cable.
Dude, and all that stuff, like that wireless transmission, like radio waves and all that. If you have a more powerful signal and you can tune in the same frequency, you can just push that one out of the way.
If that's you have a more powerful signal, yeah.
If you got more power, that's what people used to like take over radio stations
Pirate
and stuff.
Radio.
Yarr. Because you could push your own frequency, and if you had a powerful enough antenna, you could just set up your own radio station until you got busted.
Yeah. Max Headroom, you know, aside from that, going back to Max Headroom, is a strange character, and probably people remember him as the stuttering high contrast, very much. If you look at it now, you're like, oh, that would, if I probably showed you a video of Max Headroom, you've never seen him before, you're like, oh, that's AI generated, but it's not, he's like a real guy.
does have that look.
He's made to be like the first like computer generated character. That's kind of what he looks like.
He was portrayed by Matt Frewer, who is he was a Canadian American actor.
I like how you put the Canadian first in that.
And they put up like a bunch of like, when you look at him, it's like they put on a lot of like prosthetic makeup on him to make him look very, very artificial, very flat, kind of like this. Max Headroom was a TV series, like in the UK in like 1985 is when it came out. It strikes a lot of like notes for today. It was credited pretty much as like a dystopian, or described as like a dystopian kind of cyberpunk genre, and probably a lot of influences. Those of you who haven't, if you're Googling Max Headroom right now and you like watch some of it, you're like, oh, like, well, this influenced a whole bunch of that genre of like media.
He kind of looks like Johnny Bravo a little bit.
A little bit.
A little Johnny Bravo look to him.
And he was always meant to be like just this kind of pastiche. Again, he's like, his whole thing was kind of like a satire on consumerism and things like this, which would be ironic because probably most people remember Max Headroom as the people a little bit older than me probably remember him as the spokesperson for the new Coke.
Really?
Yeah.
So Max Headroom almost single-handedly ruined Coke.
He sold out. He sold out.
Max Headroom was the reason that new Coke failed. Yes. But his whole, the whole slogan.
Well, I mean, that's on brand. That's on brand by everything, right? It's like he's like, yeah, I'll sign up, and then he helps crash.
Tanks it.
Yeah. Tanks new Coke.
And his origin is very something that we would, you know, we're kind of spookily getting into now, where it's like he was originally like a journalist. Edison Carter was his name. And then in the TV show, his origin is that, you know, he ends up, I guess, like crashing after being pursued by some goons or corporate goons or something. And he crashes and his
Princess
consciousness
Diana style.
Yeah. And his consciousness is uploaded into a computer, and then, you know, becomes Max Headroom, because that's the last thing that he saw when he died, because it was it going into a parking garage. It was like Max Headroom.
2.4 meters.
It's like that's what he was always supposed to do. So it's always strange that it started out as this kind of, you know, cyberpunk critique on the world, where his, you know, his world is very much like RoboCop, that thing, corporate owned TV networks, surveillance, you know, media brainwashing, all that kind of crazy stuff. And then he would become the spokesperson for New Coke. It's like, wild.
Who's in that boardroom at Coke? Be like, you know what we should do? It's Max Headroom.
Max character. Headroom.
Of all the athletes, of everyone, he's our guy.
But he would, I guess he would become pretty much like household name. And then that kind of brings us to 19. So that was like 19. The New Coke was like 85. And the Max Headroom hijacking events, because there's two of them, would be 1987. So about 2 years after. So people knew who Max Headroom was. I think he was a popular
Jeffrey
character.
I didn't
realize
Jeffrey Tambor was in it.
In
the show.
Oh.
He was a...
I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
I guess, yeah, no, I'm looking at the character list, and I was like, oh, he's like... I don't know who Matt Fuhrer is, but I know who Jeffrey Tambor is.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably some names in there that are like, yeah, but it was only on for like 2 years. Like it wasn't a long running. Yeah. It's two seasons. It's not even a long running show. And it got picked up eventually, you know, just learning a little bit more history about background of Max Headroom, is that it kind of in the UK, it kind of fizzled out. Then the US picked it up. And then he became, I think I kind of remember him from like cable, like music TV shows. And like he would introduce music videos or interviews. Yeah, or stuff like that.
Yeah. All right.
So then you would know.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was like an MTV, like much music character when I first saw it.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was. Cause I was like, I kind of got some weird, like memories, like very,
you probably saw him when I was a kid.
He was a prominent figure on MTV in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then I would watch like as a kid, cause I grew up watching like MTV music videos and shit in the summers. I probably saw clips of him.
Music for us though.
Yeah, but they would play MTV every now and then if you watched all day in the summer.
I guess so. Different companies, though.
So you definitely showed up.
They would play like the MTV shows, like the MTV.
Oh, like their reality shows and stuff?
Yeah. Like so it would play on Much Music.
Right.
So they're probably like some sort of syndication or something. So that's why I would see that.
Now, Much Music just plays reality shows.
Yeah. No Jersey music. Shore.
There's no music anymore.
Jersey Shores all day, 24/7.
I don't know how that channel still survives.
I don't know how those fucking people are still doing that show.
MTV split into like five different channels now. And it's like 24/7 Jersey Shore.
Those guys, when they did that original season, were like pushing 40. Like they were old. They weren't teenagers. 60. And now they're like fucking 50s. And they're like still like, let's go to the club.
Yeah, didn't Gym they do like a return? You're like, didn't they what do a the return? Fuck? No, what, didn't they follow? They followed up with Snooki and JWoww, I think. Like they felt like.
Yeah, now they're just back to doing Jersey Shore again. The show's back on. Same cast. Oh, so
what we got to do then is we got to change our show a little bit for a while and then come back with ATT.
You change the formula and then 20 years later. Back.
Yeah.
New ATT. And then we come back with classic ATT.
Classic ATT and come back again.
Yeah. Once new ATT fails.
This is a 10-year plan we're working on.
Yeah, we're in the long game.
We need to do it long enough so then our kids can just take the show over.
Right.
Yeah.
Got to keep it going long enough.
So
I've already fucking bred all your replacements. So right. I'm just clones.
He's got the full show.
I got the full show here.
It'll be the three Renner boys and a Gundam Wing AI generated character. Yep. That's what we'll have.
Welcome, Renners.
Finish uploading my consciousness to my AI Gundam avatar.
Fucking finally, we'll have Zordan.
So November 22nd, 1987, WGN TV, Channel 9 in Chicago.
No, Dan, say it when your best radio voice.
WGN TV, Channel 9, Chicago.
There it is. I knew you had it.
At the time, a segment was being read by sportcaster Dan Rohn, and he was covering the highlights. And I wish Andrew was here about the Bears beating the Detroit Lions.
Terrible score too. So, probably smoked them.
I'm sure he's like, well, this happens all the time. It's not really news. So I mean,
basically any time in history other than like the last year and a half, like a team beating the Lions is not anything.
I'm sure Andrew would have a much.
Well, maybe the Lions were good in the 80s. Actually,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wish Andrew was here, and he'd probably light us up with some Detroit Lions hard facts here. But at 9:14, Dan Rohn disappeared. The channel like took off, like gone, blank screen, and just black screen. And then about 15 seconds later, a new figure took over. And this person was described as being dressed in a rubber mask, which was recognizable as Max Headroom. He's wearing it with sunglasses on, and he was just kind of sitting there silently, which at this point it's like there was no sound at the during this broadcast, but he was kind of just bobbed in front of there, and then there was this spinning background behind him, just this kind of like look gray corrugated just background kind of spinning back and forth, like very disorienting, but if you imagine watching it, but there is just this grating buzzy noise that played, but that was the only sound coming from the broadcast. So after 30 seconds of that, the signal engineers at WGN switched frequencies, which is because of something that they could do. They switched to a backup frequency on another transmitter, which would bring the news and Dan Rohn back to the screen. So nobody really knew it was gone, but you had people on hand to be like, what the hell's going on? This is not us. And then flick the switch.
Someone had pushed, like we're talking about, someone must have pushed like a higher frequency that got in there and overtook the antenna.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, for me, like when I'm thinking this in my head, this would be, to me, it's really impressive that this happened in Chicago, because it's like, this is like Chicago's a big city. Mm-hmm. So this station obviously would have a power enough, like a probably
big fucking dish.
Oh, big yeah. dish, big signal. You know what I mean? And like, this isn't butthole Iowa, you know, so it's like, it's not like, so whoever's doing this had to have
apologies for people who live in butthole Iowa.
Right.
No, no apologies.
Yeah. I've Get never out. Liked butthole Iowa. People are going to look up if there's this town called Butthole, Iowa. And it's all the towns. That's the funny. That's the... I'm a kid. But the interesting is, so you would have to have seemingly in like the early... Like someone would have to have something that was more powerful than what this TV station had.
Right. More powerful or someone's got on the inside.
Oh, exactly.
Only two ways.
And that was the first assumption, is that the studio engineers made, was that they were somebody was inside doing this, because this was something
they're inside the studio.
This was something that didn't really happen back then. This was not something that is like, you know, they really had a problem with. Like, yeah, you had a large, powerful broadcasting antenna, and it's like nobody really, the resources or the technology kind of to do this was not something that you normally would be. If it were a weird, you know, it's one of these things, they automatically assumed that there was somebody inside the studio somewhere, you know, hijacking the broadcast and putting this on the air. So they started a search like right away, you know, probably just like kicking open doors and being like, what the fuck's in here? But then you just had all of that kind of going on. So then I guess it all kind of swallowed down. They're like, oh, like, you know, maybe it's just like a one-off thing, just something really weird that happened. So until 2 hours later,
after well, that's this, a weird thing. Cause you would, after this, I'm sure that they would fucking like sweep the studio of being like, is this something yeah. else in here?
Yeah.
Because then like, so then their thought would be like, someone has this, would have to have this set up in here.
Like pre-recorded and patched into the transmitter or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they figured. And so you've got the people at Channel 9, WGN TV, looking through there, you know, combing through, scouring their studio, trying to find this person who had perpetrated this but they wouldn't find anybody. 2 hours later, on Channel 11 at 11:15 p.m., there is at that time was broadcasting a PBS affiliate, WWTW, which was Window to the World, I think is what it's like what it stands for, was airing a Doctor Who episode. Apparently the title of the Doctor Who episode was the Horror of Fang
Horror
Rock.
Of Fang Rock.
Which is one of the, yeah, this is the older Doctor Who. I'm not a big Who fan, so I'm like, okay, it's cool. Some people might nerd out about that.
Dude, I didn't know about Doctor Who till probably the last 5 years. And then when I found out that it's been on for like 40 years, I was
Isn't there a new Doctor Who though? Like a
there's remake? Always an, you know, and
there's well, a new Doctor
they
Who
started
like
when
four
like
months.
2000.
Hey, listen, congratulations, Zell. You're the new Doctor Who. That's how many characters. That's how many Doctor Who's are.
Take it.
Yes, Doctor. This studio, you know, the interruption on this one, the broadcast, you had the same characters show up with the Max Headroom rubber mask and the, or perhaps rubber mask, we don't know, and the sunglasses kind of pops in. But the difference with this interruption was that this one had audio. This one had sound.
Upgrade.
Yeah. Well, that's a weird thing, because then it's like, is this whole thing pre-recorded or is it live from somewhere?
And the audio, I mean, you can Google, I guess we probably don't have it. I don't know if we're going to play it. Will you insert it or no?
I can't because this could get flagged.
We'll get flagged by Max Headroom.
Well, yeah, everything gets flagged by someone's claimed Max Headroom as their own on YouTube and you can't play nothing.
Yeah, so you can Google it. It's very easy to find. Yeah. You can watch both. But the second one is the one that is the most disconcerting of the two and the one that is often kind of discussed about because it is more substantive. This one ran for 90 seconds. And you had the same figure and he was,
it gives this vibe. Like before you start reading, it gives the vibe of someone, I'm like, it's two guys and one guy's like, oh shit, you're back on. We're on. Yeah. It's live. You're live. And like, that's the vibe it gives. And then someone's just like,
is there a phone ringing? Is that Max Headway? Dan?
I hear it too.
Are you getting hooked? Are you getting,
I think it's an alarm going off. Hold on. Like,
Dan's house is burning down right now.
Yeah.
He's got to go check. And
suddenly that green screen goes up in flames. What? He's not in the galaxy?
Dan's slowly getting carbon monoxide poisoning sitting in the basement.
No, but this one...
Oh, it was a timer. No,
this one, it does give me the vibe that there's someone like... It's almost like the person doesn't know... This is just the vibe I get, is that the person doesn't know how long they're going to be on, so they just start talking shit.
Right, he's like flipping off the camera. Yeah. And
which makes it seem like it's live, which is insane.
The voice is like, it's wildly distorted. It's like, high, it's like pitched real high. There's like a lot of interference in this. And so a lot of people like, you know, they've cleaned it up a bit. And some of the things like they put in subtitles about what they're talking and people have like, cause people have dissected this for 30 some years about this. And it is,
you know what? Okay. You know, it's a dope thing I just thought of in my head. I was like, man, what if it's not what we think? Like if this is a signal hijack, cause it's like weird. It's a live thing. Imagine if it's like it's not even people from that time. It's like people like now. And it's like, they figured out a way like, or people from, you know, 2027. And they're like, man, we like frequency, we can fuck with frequencies. We can actually push a frequency back in time. And they push, this is what they push back.
This one gets weird though.
Yeah, it does get weird.
This one gets fucking weird.
But what I was saying is we could in the next month when I'm down and we could set up a green screen because there's nothing much to this. We could film, you can buy those Max Headroom rubber masks. We could film this exact thing and then say that we pushed it back into 1980. If we film a shot for shot remake of this, exactly. Distort it the same and then be like, yeah, we're pushing this back in time. Who's to say it wasn't?
We have time travel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very random kind of like people say like stream of consciousness. Cause it's just this guy sitting there, you know, for the first like 60 some seconds or something, he's just sitting there just saying, it sounds like random phrases,
lyrics, the songs and stuff.
Yeah, dude. If this was today, he'd be like, fuck her right in the pussy. That's what Max Headroom would have said. If this happened today.
You know, he's just like screaming nonsense at the thing, but the phrases that you can interpret from it, you know, there's like one where he like, I mean, it's weird because they're just like endlessly interpret the things that he says. Cause he's like, there's one point he kind of leans like kind of forward, like out of frame. And he's like, I can still see the X. And it's like, oh, that's weird. Like, you know, it just says some really weird, you know, like just
starts
weird
screaming
phrases.
And like moaning at one point too. And then he's like, what does he say about, what does he say? He says, he made a giant masterpiece for all the greatest world newspaper nerds, referencing WGN.
Yeah.
And the parent company.
Yeah. And he actually mentions someone by, was it like Chuck Swirsky or something? Like he mentions a name. Someone by name and saying like, he's a freaking nerd. Which I mean, yeah, if you have that time on a pirated broadcast, you're going to call it somebody and definitely call him a freaking nerd. Like you got it. I guess. And then and then there's like another thing, you know, I went through some, you know, research and some like deep dives on this. And the, one of them was like, when they say he was like humming, apparently when he was humming, people identified that tune that he was humming. And it's like, it's from a like cartoon called Clutch Cargo. Like was the name of the cartoon. And I looked up the show and I was like, this is a weird show. It's like one of those shows that you'd probably watch. And it would, like, if it came on late at night, it was kind of, for me, my comparison is like a Land of the Lost or whatever. If that comes out late at the night, like when I was a kid, that would be like, it's the weirdest show with like the Slee Stacks and stuff. And it like creeps you out like a little bit, but the Clutch Cargo one is actually a kind of, known for being the first one to use this type of animation called Synchrovox, which this is an interesting, stupid little fact, but like, well, I was thinking, but Synchrovox is where they would use like photographed like animation cells. And then when the characters talked, they interposed like the video of actors' mouths moving onto the characters. So it's very like, you can look up episodes on YouTube, Clutch Cargo, and see how weird it is and see why it never really took off. Cause it's really weird. Like it's kind of, but it is a straight, it is, it's almost like a, like the theme of the show is kind of like almost Johnny Quest ish kind of, you know, if it were just Race Bannon and Johnny and Bandit the dog, like that was just them just hanging out. Like that's what it would be, I guess. That's what I get the kind of feeling from it. But yeah, it's like people who have gone really into this video have been like, no, he was telling that. So, you know, coming to their own conclusions about
they almost think it was like a subliminal message of something.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So people, yeah. And that's another piece of the puzzle that people have been this, but yeah. So
then it takes a sexual turn.
Yeah. Then it takes a real weird turn. Yeah. It's not subliminal at all.
Yeah. Then it takes showcase after 10 p.m. turn.
No, we're late night TV here, right? We're Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh, yeah. This is perfect timing, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then he, so after, you know, all of this, like 60 some seconds of just all this random stuff, he, you know, you hear this like bend over bitch. And when I was watching the original video, like on YouTube, like watch, I thought somebody had like put that in there. Like I was like, that's really weird. But no, I guess that's part of the original broadcast. And, you see this person who's in there, you know, the suit dress person has
bare ass
out there
spanked by.
Yeah.
A fly swatter.
By a fly swatter.
Fucking proper naughty boy.
With from another person off screen. From another person off screen, and people say it's a woman, or it's a, you know, yeah, looks to be a woman.
Scream bend over bitch.
Yeah, it looks to be a woman. She seems, when I watch the video, people say it's some kind of face covering. I thought she was wearing some kind of like hospital mask, looks like, maybe to cover her identity, of course, like if you're doing this. But yeah, and then people are saying maybe she's wearing some type of like French maid outfit as well, like some bit of commentary there, who knows. But yeah, she just like starts whacking him on the butt with the fly swatter for another couple seconds.
And if the broadcast would have lasted a little bit longer, a strap-on dildo was going about to come out.
Yeah.
It was going to take a real wild turn.
Yeah, they're like, how far can we go?
That's kind of like an interesting question, because it's like, so you've got a dude with his bare ass, and you got, you know, presaged by bend over bitch, and he's getting smacked on the butt. But at the beginning of the broadcast, the guy calls that dude a freaking nerd. He doesn't say fucking nerd. Right?
Freaking nerd.
He says freaking nerd. Isn't that kind of weird? Like, why don't you just go full on F-bomb?
Because you get fined by the FCC for swears.
They were religious, right?
It was an interesting choice of, I thought it was weird too. I was like, why? Like, you're on, like, you think so. Like, why
you just
not?
Just pirate radio. Like, you're in, like, you're going to get even, like, you think you're going to care at that point?
You're
going
to hit a freaking?
Yeah. You're going to hit freaking nerd, and then, you know, so some people have also pointed that out and been like, you know, this could be a clue as to the identity of the person, because it's like something that you would just say, you know, it's something maybe that was just their normal. Well,
it makes me think, like when I was, you know, it did make me think that it was someone involved with TV. And so they were like, taking over the signal is one thing, but then using like a cuss word on a network, that's too far.
So bend over bitch doesn't count.
I think bitch is always
acceptable.
I think bitch is on the like commonplace of words allowed on TV.
I was wondering, is it was the 80s though? Like,
well, I mean, like bitch, more, especially in the 80s, was like
bitch.
Yeah, was that I guess we still can't drop the F. We can drop the shit now. We can drop shit on TV.
You can drop shit on
Shit's
TV.
Shit's fine. But, yeah. Ass is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but shit for a long time, like you can say that. Like, nope. Now it's pretty normal late after 8 o'clock.
You can drop F-bombs now because Trump did it on live TV, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
That's what I was saying. Can I do it in the workplace like more often than I do in general conversation?
you can follow your leader. Whatever he does, you can do. So you can just fucking start dropping F-bombs left and right. Doesn't matter.
Finally, someone who talks like us.
Man of the people.
So this one ran on longer than the original, the first broadcast that popped on. You know, the engineers.
Because there's no engineers on station. So by the time people realized what was going on, it was over. Like, they couldn't stop it. And the only reason that videos of this were people who were taping Doctor Who got the fucking transmission.
Well, and that's an interesting thing, too, because you think that the person who is then doing this knew at the time that there's no one in the tower to stop this. So this will be a perfect opportunity to run it. But like a 90 second clip, like my thing is, I'm torn between, is this, the video plays so much like it's just people like, we're on and now we're going to be fucked up, rather than like a pre-recorded VHS tape. Do you know what I mean? That they pushed, but I guess that would make more sense that they had something pre-recorded that they pushed on. But it's just so fucking weird, because you would have the equipment you would have to do. You'd have to be doing it from like pretty nearby with a stronger signal, which is like, I feel like you would like need...
Well, the amount of wattage needed to run one of those antennas and stuff is like big. Like, you can't just like plug into an outlet.
Oh yeah,
and shoot like an antenna
like
at
a cigarette
building.
Your cigarette car light.
You're not doing like, that of your 12 volt fucking card plug.
Like someone doing like some sort of battery array and like in a fucking like, you know, budget like 16 foot cube van to make that happen, right? Is this some Ocean's 11 shit going on?
I'm not sure all the science on the signal intrusion, but you got to be it more powerful than what you're overtaking, so, or you're on the inside.
But if you're on the inside too, like that's the thing is, if you're on the inside, the fact that there was no one in the tower.
Or was there,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, it was there, but then you feel like you could have tracked it down to whoever was in the building. Like, I'm sure there was some sort of, well, did they even have access cards in the 80s? Probably not. It probably just fucked doors open. You probably walking
like
off the
security guard. Like,
there's
maybe,
a security guard with a ring.
Sleeping in a chair.
At 11:45 p.m.
With his giant ring of keys.
Ring of keys, and like maybe he had a taser.
I've seen every, you know, all the 80s movies. That's the typical security guard, right? He's just sleeping on the front. Yeah.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Or you're getting shot by Hans and fucking Die Hard.
Yeah, I'm sure they had like some type of CCTV, but did they have cameras everywhere? Probably just in the lobby or public spaces maybe, or so.
That's what they know, I guess, is that they do know it was a signal interruption. Like it wasn't something that somebody like put in a tape or something like that. Whether that didn't
plug in.
Yeah, it didn't plug in or anything. It didn't come from the station. So the FCC was understandably worried about this. This is the first time really that they had this happen before, where somebody had maliciously hijacked, a broadcast television station. And, they really got into it where they were trying to find these people. They put out, they offered rewards for any details or any information regarding the people who had did this.
Rewards and threats, like public threats of like, oh, if caught, this is $100,000 and or a year in prison. So just so you know, Raph, we're coming after you.
I think they did manage to kind of narrow down like the general area of where it came from. I think they said that it was likely from either like, Brayden said, like, it might have been out of a vehicle. It might have been in a building, but I think they said they're prime suspect because there's like an area of that had like warehouses or storage, like self storage areas.
A bunch of flat top warehouses close by.
And they're saying that might have came from there because somebody put together the background as like one of the, it looks like one of those like corrugated, like the storage container.
Oh, yeah.
Like the storage garage.
So then it was live. So then in that case, it was live, which to me then is insane because you would have to have all the equipment there and then you're doing a teardown.
It doesn't have to be live. It could be filmed and then broadcast through a transmitter.
Yeah. I guess so. But if you're filming it, you're filming it that close too. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of weird.
It could be already filmed.
Yeah.
And they bring VHS player and they rig that up to the transmitter and they broadcast the signal.
how could you make something so fucking weird filmed, you know? Like, that's, I feel like, well, it's why, yeah, I feel like, yeah, it, for me, I was like, I feel like it's more something live. It's just off the cuff. This guy's like going random stuff.
But then there's also like, do.
But then, yeah, but then you're also like, hey, we're going to, you know, is that so, like, we're going to do all this really random stuff at first, but what really needs to happen is I need to get spanked bare ass on TV. Like, is that part of the plan? Was that the whole plan all along?
Well, and the other thing for me is like, I looked in, cause I was like, dude, I was like, a 2-season show warranted like fucking like a rubber mask that you could buy. And then I was like, I looked into it and it's like Coke did that. New Coke produce those rubber masks, like, yeah, they're the ones that like
mass produce. Popular Halloween costume,
yeah, which is crazy because it was like, it's not that well like reviewed show and it only lasted 2 seasons,
but he was the new Coke spokesperson. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like, if they produce, you wouldn't want to miss out on the producing mask, you know.
Maybe, but even, yeah, money. Even like that, the fact that they Coke, like, I feel like they could have just made up their own character, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a weird,
It was when a weird time. The 80s were a different time.
Yeah. Everyone was high. Like we said before.
Everyone was on Coke. But yeah, this was one of the first cases. I guess it's one of the first cases. It's one of the more well-known cases. But it wasn't.
But not the first.
Not the first. And we can talk about that after we come back from the break.
Quick break. Be right back.
Let me tell you, brothers, about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days, Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends, brother. And they've got gummies for literally everything. Immunosupport, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. No pesticides, brother. No BS. And they ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ALIEN. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember, brothers and sisters, use that promo code ALIEN at checkout and save 20% on your first order. We're back.
All right. You know, we'll get back to discussing more theories about Max Headroom, but I kind of want to give a little bit of context about what happened before that, actually. Like, so there was another, which probably this one actually fits more into our wheelhouse, I feel like. When you're talking about TV signal hijackings, there was one interesting, and this one kind of goes along with the Max Headroom. If you Google up Max Headroom, this one always gets paired up with it because it is very similar. There was one called the Southern Television Alien Broadcast in the UK in 1977. So November 26th, 1977, their a regional ITV station, Southern Television, apparently was had their audio. So it's a little bit different because it is audio and not video, because the audio played over what was being brought, the video that was being broadcast at the time. And the audio played over that for 6 minutes.
Nice.
Which is like a long time. And it
just
was
audio, right? Because the picture was still going, but the audio was overdubbed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the it was like a voiced audio claiming to be the Vrillon of the Ashtar Galactic Command. And it delivered this long, like, scripted message, which was basically like very urging humanity to disarm its nuclear warheads, you know, reject violence, all of the stuff that we've talked about with, you know, all of the early 1960s, 1950s.
Yeah, why would UFO the aliens be here? Because we got nukes, we're going to blow ourselves up, or yeah, we're a threat.
You need to join
the
Galactic Brother. Yeah, you know, dab it up, Galactic Brotherhood. What's up? You know,
turn in the nukes,
hang out with Space Jesus,
or we're going to blow you up.
Listen, I'm not listening to any fucking galactic commander that can't even steal both audio and visual signals. All right. Come back and talk to me. I was like, you're fucking with the wrong humans if you can't hijack both those at once.
Well, maybe this is low effort shit right here.
Maybe they're in a different solar system, you know?
Oh, and they're hijacking it from across the universe.
That's all they can do, right? It's a lot of power, impressive. But they can get the audio.
Yeah. Then I got a message for Vrillion. Say it to my face.
And what was it?
So that one's interesting though too, because I'm like, again, I don't know, like, I'm guessing, I never really gave much thought to like how these like broadcast channels would broadcast TV and stuff, but I'm like, I'm guessing they like, they have these shows on tapes that they would play, right? They put it in the tape, well, it would play.
It was filmed,
yeah,
you know, two or three cameras, and then edited,
and then
played back.
Unless and
it
then was shot
could
out.
Be live too. They did have live still.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think this was live. Maybe it was, but I don't think it was. But then to me, I'm like, is it actually someone stealing the signal, or is it someone? I guess they would know if it was someone tampering with the tape because they just play it back and be like. Like if someone redubbed the audio.
This is news, so news is usually live, is not?
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
Maybe, I'm guessing it was live.
Yeah, I guess it's, yeah, I'm guessing it's live. Well, I mean, we do pre-recorded news here, too. They record it at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, but a lot of times you record one session and then they just then they play it back over and over.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe, I don't know. But I was like, because I was like, again, it's just like, I think back in the day, especially like, I don't know where this one is, but like, the Chicago one's more impressive to me because I would think it's a more powerful signal. And I'm sure like as like you, I'm sure as you go back in time, the feat of taking over that signal is less and less impressive.
I think it's like, but it's not that powerful, not that relatively, like because it was a local channel, right?
Yeah.
It was like a local channel because I'm, you know, mentioning that because there is another, you know, well-known hijacking that was done by Captain Midnight. It's a cool name. In 1986, and this is the known as like the HBO hijacking, which I guess was the first known satellite TV hijacking. And this one occurred April 27th, 1986. So during a movie broadcast, HBO signal was then hijacked by someone who identified himself as Captain Midnight.
Captain Midnight.
And this one hijacked. But pretty much the whole broadcast, but it was only just a text. Like it was only text, and it was, "Good evening, HBO from Captain Midnight. $12.95 a month? No way. Showtime/movie channel. Beware." So he was very disgruntled about the fact that they were upping their prices.
Yeah, well, I get that. Fuck that.
But this one got solved relatively quickly because they found out that this was. You know, they reasoned out that there is only a specific set of antenna that were powerful enough to be able to hijack the signal of HBO, and they kind of narrowed it down to their suspect, which ended up being John R. McDougall, who is a satellite technician.
Fine.
So it was like, coming from inside the building, isn't it? Yeah. I guess he had been a former operations engineer at the Central Florida teleport uplink station.
They're like, I think it was John because he sounded pretty pissed off about the $12.99 in the morning meeting.
What?
I'll be right back.
Hijack and signal and mumbling as it goes out. But the crazy thing is like, because back then this was like the first known thing. He was only fined $5,000, which back then, you know, 80s is still kind of a chunk of cash, but it's like he was only fined $5,000 because it was the first time this had ever happened. They didn't really know what to do, I guess. So
what's
it was
that,
like,
what's that in today's dollars? Like 50 grand?
Yeah.
Probably $500,000.
$500,000 of cocaine. I don't know. And yeah, but it's like, so the Max Headroom thing was something that was like, it was still relatively new because these are only like, you know, a few years apart, like not even maybe like a year apart. And then, you know, then they started upping the fines, like the influence from these events still, you know, rings down because you had the FCC upping all their fines. You had a lot of TV, you know, TV networks and stuff like hardening up their broadcasts. And now it's very difficult to kind of do this stuff. You can't just like hijack a signal. It usually has to be someone in, you know, inside the thing. Cause I mean, there have been other events where this, you know, somebody has hijacked a signal, but it's usually they played, you know, flipped the switch, started broadcasting porn over the Super Bowl or something. Like it's happened, but
I wanted my vacation. You didn't give it to me. This is what you get.
Happens.
Disgruntled employees, man. It all traces back to them.
But the Max Headroom one is just like, it's never been solved. There's still nobody knows who did it. And
well, they launched that big investigation. They narrowed it down to, it must've been a close proximity event. But it was kind of a victimless crime because no one was hurt, nothing was damaged. So eventually they're just like,
all those Doctor Who fans had their fucking
episode.
The resources used already, they're like, okay, we're just going to let this slide. So it unsolved. So who the fuck was? Who was the perpetrator?
And it's still super disturbing because it does have that, when you watch it, it has that weird, like, if you'd never seen it before and you didn't know who Max Headroom was and you watch this thing, you'd be like, is this a snuff film? Is somebody going to get fucking disemboweled here?
It does have that.
Is this some dark web shit? Like, where did you get this?
Just for a little bit longer. That's what I mean. It was going to be strap on dildo. And then all of a sudden the hands are bound and then he's upside down. Yeah. And you're like, fuck, there you go. You
shoot him in the face with a shotgun. Like, just like, it's some weird stuff. Like, but it is like, it's almost relatively benign. It is some kind of like, just kind of trickster-ish. Kind of mischievous, it's like, you know,
we can do it.
So you would charge a person with like criminal mischief or whatever, like, which is a funny charge, but like, you know, you'd be like,
you prankster, you damn kids,
shake your fist at them, you damn kids.
But the fact that it was never actually, because people have been internet sleuthing this since the event, trying to figure out who it was.
Deep dives in Reddit, trying to figure out exactly who.
And why not? And to be honest, I'm like, the weird thing is, I'm like, why not come forward now? You're not getting into trouble. You know what I mean? Like 20 years after the fact, like you could have come out in the 2000s, 2010s, and been like,
I think the statute of limitations is definitely run up. Yeah. On something like this.
Like, so it's like, we did it. This is how we did it.
It was Dr. Huzel.
I did it.
Right. Like that would be
3 years before the womb.
But like now that we're talking about like, with like the advantage of AI and how crazy AI, do you think we're getting to a point where like right now it seems like a really difficult thing to do, but do you think it's like very quickly going to be something where it's like we might be seeing AI being able to hijack these signals in real time?
Well, I'm more worried about people like watching this and they'll be like, this wasn't real. This is AI generated. You know, like, no, this really happened. You know, it's because, what was it?
Brayden it was does look. It does play AI generated, and to be honest, let's get into that. I've never witnessed one of these tapes. Like we're watching someone who has uploaded these Max Headroom things digitally.
The only people who had this footage, this is from the network. Like these footage of the Max Headroom stuff is probably lifted from a tape of somebody who is recording Doctor Who on VHS
and then held onto the tape for fucking 20 years. Before the internet.
Well, I mean, they probably up before then, but because it went to networks and stuff. But that was the only evidence that they had. Like they didn't have anything from the studio. The studio wasn't recording the broadcast. It was people who were at home, you know, had either their VCRs on a timer or they were sitting there recording Doctor Who. And then, you know, probably news, you know, news networks got a whole, you know, got people who had footage of that, but that's what you're watching is like people, whatever. And Brayden was talking about before how like nothing from the 80s exists anymore. It's like, you know, it is difficult to find like obscure stuff now. And a lot of people, it's becoming easier for like AI to kind of spoof that stuff. You know, I feel like, cause some people would be like, oh, this is footage from whatever. And people are like, no, this is AI generated. This never happened. Dude, you know?
Well, and then like, it did cross my mind this with the Max Headroom stuff. I was like, could this be AI just concocting this whole thing, right? Putting all the people, because it's like, we're not talking like there, you go through all these, no one's talking about like, I remember this happened. Like it's all like old articles, old that you're reading online. And just what we know now,
pop culture,
what we know now is that anything online, you can't trust any of it anymore.
Susceptible. Yeah.
And so there's an interesting one on the topic of this, like if this is this whole AI generated thing, there's a big thing on Reddit right now and it's about, Roy J and, it's a Roy J and they call him they call him the AI demon because there's a sector of people that think it's a demon trying to write its way into pop culture. And then there's a different sect of people that being like, this is seemingly like an AI trying to fit itself into pop culture in real time online. And so basically there's this actor, Roy J, who's in, he's a British comedian apparently, And he appeared on like this talk show, the Bob Monkhouse show, which is a real show. And it's super weird act. And he moves really weird. And people started to be like, who the fuck is this guy? Because he was kind of discovered, like one of his acts was discovered on YouTube. And then people were like, why does this guy fucking not, why does he move like he's AI generated? And that basically started the thing of like, no one had heard of this fucking guy. So Reddit started to try to uncover who this actor was. And they eventually got a name, Roy J. And then they started looking for more information. And as they look for information,
more stuff pops up.
More stuff starts to pop off. So like a Wikipedia page just popped up and they're like, we looked for he wasn't on there. And people were like, yeah, but because it was so obscure that it's popping up because more people are looking into it.
Okay, wait.
And it's like,
is this Roy J? Is this the guy who claims from 1948 and he died in 2007? This Roy J?
I think so, yes.
If you search Roy J, now it's the Roy J phenomenon, Roy J Wikipedia, all the Roy J videos on YouTube.
Yeah. It's popping up.
Dude, he's got IMDb.
There's like Reddit, and there's Reddit threads of people talking about this investigation. And so people have started to think that this is an AI trying to create this character in real time and who's actively beating the investigation. Like as people are looking in, it's like just like making things as it has to keep this up.
Or like someone searches for Roy J on Wikipedia and AI is like, listening.
Now needs Wikipedia.
Fucking don't doubt it, man.
So there's Reddit page of these threads of people being like, if there's so many Reddit threads, and one of the reasons is Reddit threads. If you go down a couple, they'll think that this AI has infiltrated the Reddit thread.
The Reddit,
because people all of a sudden they'll be like, no one knows this guy, and then you'll get like someone who writes, I remember him well. He came from a long line of British comedians who adopted eccentric personality mixed with some catchphrases as a way of telling fairly routine jokes. His kind of cool act, persona, makeup, and costumes were innovative, and he often broke character to contrast it with more traditional northern style of comedy. And people were like, are you AI? And then the person who wrote that has no posts. And they're like, someone will be like, that guy has no posts. And then all of a sudden, this guy is just like floods with like just weird generic posts from everywhere. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? But is that something that we should be worried about moving forward? That like these... anything online has the ability to be manipulated in real time by like,
I mean, it's always been AI. Like that. That's the thing. It's like, and you know, this is a worry of a lot of like researchers and stuff where it is a problem. Like internet stuff has always been susceptible to, you know, by interference or, you know, manipulation, because it's like, it's back when I was, back in school, when it was like, when Wikipedia was new, your teachers were like, don't use Wikipedia as a thing because it can be, you know, it can be changed by people or whatever, you know, and then you learn you can just cite the sources at the bottom because I said that the sources. but you know, it's kind of that thing where it is becoming more and more difficult, and you have to become more and more diligent about the stuff that you're looking at. I know I've gotten caught a couple times with like stuff like pops up and you've been like, what was it? The Pope Hammer thing. There's like this fact that was being circulated around. There's a ceremonial hammer that the Vatican uses that when the Pope dies, they hit him on the head to make sure they're really dead. And I was like, oh, that's not something they would do in the Middle Ages and just survive the thing. And then I was like, wait, no, that's, and then I looked it up like for real and they're like, no, it's fake. And I was like, oh my fucking God. They got me.
I think of a business that's about to come back. Huge, and mark my word, another 10 years,
market
booming market.
Is this when we're back to classic AT, when we rebrand as classic AT?
No, this is back, this is when we move from fucking ATT completely.
Oh, do we get ATT zero? Do we become ATT zero?
ATT encyclopedias. We go door to door selling encyclopedias, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't trust the information anymore. So no, we got to go back.
Unless it's
we
on paper.
Unless it's on paper, you just cannot be fucking trusted. Because yeah, like,
half the entries are ipsum lorem dictatum, whatever.
But because like in realistically, like say like fucking Russia wanted, they're like, you know what, let's fuck with English speakers and we're going to just have our little, what's their little tower of misinformation there?
It's rebranded, but yeah, the Internet Research Agency used to be.
Yeah, IRA. And they're just going to be like, let's just have like constantly like have our AIs just going in and just fucking manipulating their information nonstop.
Because people,
changing history.
Yeah, it's... It is wild. It's wild to think of like that could happen. And it's not like cases of that have, what was it, like where people get, we had this, like the internet has just made people into like obsessive weirdos sometimes, where it's like they had that one where it was like, what was it, the celebrity 47 or celebrity whatever, you guys remember that one, where everybody was looking for that one person who was like, they were on some kind of print and like they're like, yes, who is this person? Yes. And there was like, there was this huge thing, all the famous
actors and actresses.
Yeah.
And then there was one person and people were like, who the fuck is that?
And it was, and it ended up being like, it just been somebody had gotten a random print of a, like a model from like an obscure like photo shoot, like in the 80s, you know, and they had gotten that and they, you know, the model actually came forward. She said, yeah, that was me. And then we did a photo shoot, just never got published, and somebody must have got that photo, da, da, da. Which is like, that's the hard thing about like hard media now is like, yeah, when you go back far enough, it's hard to find some of this stuff. And people are like, you can pull up some old photos or stuff like that, and you'd be like, hey, these are photos from, you know, way back then, the 60s, and these are new photos from Woodstock, and people are gonna be like, oh, those are AI generated.
AI,
you know, it's AI generated.
Dude, it is getting so good.
It's out of control.
It's already at a level right now where there's some of it where you're like, I don't like there's some of the best AI I've seen is this weekend. I actually had to go look it up. There was a UFC fight and people were like posting on Twitter. They're like, I cannot believe Charles Oliveira did that to Ilya Topuria in the weigh-ins. And they walk up for the face-to-face, and then Charles Oliveira just lifts him up because he's smaller. And I was like, there's no fucking way he did that. And then people are like, if you look close in the back, like the AI fucked up the letters. And then I saw the real one. But I was just like, this is so, looks like, so it's unbelievable. I looked and went, there's no fucking, he just double lifted him like a child at the weigh-in. I was like, that's insane.
Dude, we're only a couple years in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for the Will Smith eating spaghetti thing, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the litmus test. Yeah.
And then but seeing it from the first one and then seeing the one that's now, and it's only like a couple of years apart, and you're like, holy shit.
So, have you ever... Dude, two more years and everything could be generated. You're not going to know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. I heard it. I came across YouTube and it popped in my thing. It was like a they have the songs written by AI, and there was one that was written by AI, and it was like somebody put the AI prompt. It was like a country song about big booty Latinas, and it was hilarious. Like, oh, I listened awesome. To it, I was like, this is actually pretty funny. It's like, it's real messed
we're,
up.
We're moving quickly to an era of post-human entertainment.
And which is crazy, because this shit was supposed to free us to be able to do that stuff.
Wild because some of the stuff is funny. Like they were saying that the what is it, the AI that Google runs. I think I mentioned this before, but it's like the AI that Google runs. They said that they're Gemini? It's getting no, it's a different one. Like their video AI, they have a different one, I think. They said that it's getting really good at producing those weird like interview. Like those like street interview videos like that are all over TikTok. And it's getting really good at doing those.
What could you buy with your body count?
Right.
Yeah.
But there was one that was really there was one that I was like, okay, that's stupid because I hate those ones anyways. But yeah, and then but there was one where it was like interviewing people in the 16th century, and it was like walking up to people and be like, you know, what's your daily? He's like, you know, what's your biggest problem? Yeah. And he's like, rats. There's so many rats. Yeah. So many rats or whatever, you know. And there's just like, well, it's like interviewing like a 16th century like headsman, like an executioner. He's like, yo, just always trying to get ahead. Like, it's really dumb. But I was like, these are pretty funny though.
Cause like if you're thinking like people might be thinking like, well, like the Max Headroom and stuff, like that's the story's been around for a while. Right, like on the internet for a while. I'm saying like, yeah, the story originates.
Well, yeah. The event was on Unsolved Mysteries. It's people have known about it forever. Yeah, like.
But my interesting thing is the stories like that, and even dude, you know how hard first off, I'm not even convinced Bobby Stacks is real anymore. You see those outfits, right? I mean, are we 100% sure that was live recording? Because those outfits are so fly. I don't even believe that might be real. But it's because we think now it's like, oh, well, yeah, but AI is like, we're seeing AI now. You know what I mean? Like we're seeing these companies use this stuff. But it's like, has there also been like a military AI that's been developed longer?
Yeah.
right? That they've been, there, yeah. they're like, yeah, we've been using this.
Military is always 20 years ahead, if not more, right?
So, well, the interesting thing with that theory to me is now is like, especially as we like this day and age, I'm like, the fucking money some of these companies have, like rivals military budgets. Like, you know what I mean?
So small nation states.
So it's like, I think that was the case. But I think now as these big companies are moving into development, they just have far more fucking money to push into these things, into different avenues than the military would be able to go. But maybe that's still the case. It's an interesting thing. I just, when we're looking at these stories, I start to go like, are any of these real? I honestly, I can't, anything we read.
This was
read,
the start of the Mandela effect was all AI.
Dude, it could be all manipulated online, right? Like it's. Yeah.
Well, it's just, always like, yeah, I'm sure, like, you know, it's not going to be hard to generate an AI video. It'd be like, generate an AI creepy pasta video from a old kid's TV show. Because you get all those creepy pastas, like, does anybody remember that TV show when you were a kid and had, like, the glowing eyes? And like, people, you know, they just make up stuff. That's, like, creepy, you know. The AI could easily manipulate that and just be like, make it up. And I could see what Brayden...
Make a kid's show, make a fake website.
Yeah, make a fake... Everything. Yeah, do all that stuff if you really want to do it. Of course, people could do that too, but you have to be a real dedicated, just, you know, prankster longer. Person. Yeah.
Right. If AI gets powerful enough, you could prompt AI, like, make me a fictional backstory for a comedian who was born in the 40s and he died in 2007. Create all web pages. Make sure no one can find a web page that doesn't exist. And it's just like...
It just creates backside.
And you would
insert him into shows.
And you could have figure clips it out. Of shows. Yeah. Like, you could figure it out, but it would just take a lot longer. You know, if people just go in the surface level stuff, but if you're like, yeah, all these, you know, this website came from the same IP, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you really drilled down into it, you can figure it out. But it's like, for most people, like, it's now, enough to be like,
dude, there's soon it's going to be like, it's going to, like, again, yes, you're going to be like, yeah, we could figure this stuff out. But we're so soon away from it being able to be like, dude, it being like five moves ahead of us on the chessboard, being like, yeah, we're just going to change all of that.
Dude, like, it's going to be
in real time.
So good. And I'm ready for it. And I'm ready to turn the studio back into a woodshop because it's coming where you can record anything on your phone, upload it to AI, choose the sound and microphone you want and what studio you recorded it, and it'll make your voice, like, if you record on your phone, make it sound like you recorded in the best studio in the world. And it's coming. It's 2 years away tops.
Yeah, and it'll be a good, you have a wood shop until the robots show up.
And then they take over the saws, and then the robot saw comes alive and it transforms. Yeah, I mean, and the craziest, like, I'm surprised there's not more of these. Because, like, modern signal intrusion is like the DDoS attacks, right? Like Anonymous taking, like, crashing Church of Scientology and all these religious places and then, like, broadcasting through their platform because they've taken it over and, like, we're Anonymous, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm surprised there's not more of that because now everything's connected. So you don't need a giant microwave dish.
Firewalls and stuff you have stuff.
I know, but, like, and it's gotten better. But there was a time there where hackers were well ahead of a lot of
things. They are getting crazy. What is it? I think the Cloudflare, one of the bigger web security places, said that they, like, the attacks are getting bigger. Like, they said, I think they had their largest DDoS attack, like, ever before. Like, somebody
like millions of people at once, like
billions of, like, it was like millions of terabytes of information that they flooded onto, like, towards, they directed at like one or a couple IPs or whatever, and it was like, they're like, yeah, this is the largest thing we've ever seen, which is wild because it was like, they're like, there's nothing even close to this right now, like the other DDoS and you know, comparable data things are like, they're like way lower, half this, and like, this is
and
wild.
Then the next step. So this is all with modern computing, you know, all of our, what's the next, like, everyone says quantum computing and it's probably nowhere close, but eventually, say we get this new fucking computer, that's more, it's one computer is more powerful than 10 million regular computers.
I bet we still play GTA 5 on it.
GTA 6 won't be out yet. Still. That's what I mean. You're going to have these computers that are potentially so far ahead of what we have. And then you combine that with an AI, and AI is based on the technology. So if you have AI that is now learning off a quantum chip or something, it's over. Like, that's super artificial super intelligence.
Give me the minor report, Jarvis. Give me it.
Everything. No, it can do every calculation you've ever done off one computer in 1 second.
Just make me even stronger. Just tools.
And that's when the Matrix crashes and is restart again in 1999.
We're all in the pink goo. Yeah.
Anyways, it's fucking crazy. It's crazy that no one ever actually got caught or came forward or anything with the Max Headway stuff.
Wow. Is it even a real story?
Like, dude, how did nobody? Identify this guy but from his bare ass? How did nobody?
Dude, we're listening.
I recognize that freckle.
We're like the proof that we have of this story is by a fucking cassette, a VHS that someone's uploaded. I was like, we have just as much proof of fucking Sinbad's Shazam, right, as we do of Max Headroom. To be honest, like it's just, it's the same.
That's a real movie, though.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
I guess would this guy be like a cryptid? Because this is basically all the evidence that we have, like of Bigfoot, like the video of Bigfoot, like the.
I'm watching Bigfoot vlogging right now. He's doing mushrooms with aliens and shit. He's fucking. He's having a good time.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's getting wild. But yeah, interesting. Let us know your thoughts. Where are we going with all this fucking AI shit?
Is it real? Is this podcast even real anymore?
Yeah,
dude. How can we believe a UFO case file that pops up for us that we go, we've never heard of this one. Like, how do we, you know what I mean? Like,
that's how we get more content. We ask the AI to generate stories that are believable and popular.
I wish that was the case. Cause when I think I tried to do that one time just to see what it would do. And it's always like terrible. It's always
not right now. It's not there yet.
Cause
we're another year away from a flood of more content, baby.
You know what? It's probably because we have so much experience with some of these. Because you know, all of the AI stuff when it's generated, it's all very derivative and it's all like just the same stuff, like kind of rehash. They just move the information around. And I'm like, oh no, I've just read so many that you're like, no.
You could do such a good fucking prompt, dude. You could make a case for me that most of the UFO case files you read on the line are fucking AI prompts. Because like, please insert XYZ, gets abducted by alien, doesn't see much.
Well, I know Villalobos isn't AI generated. Dude gets slathered up in sex jail.
That's
definitely not AI generated.
That's a good one.
Right. The only hope for the AI, I think I've read this theory and maybe it'll come true, maybe it will not. They call it model collapse, where AI now has generated all the content. It's not
right.
There's no humans generating content. So it keeps Ouroboros. Generating content over itself and it starts degrading and then the model actually collapses.
Yeah.
They got to restart.
Ouroboros, a snake eats its own tail. Exactly. Just like blah, blah, blah. Garbage.
Yeah. I'm sure that won't happen, but that's like, there's like, well, it's going to use so much AI content that it's just going to model is going to collapse and nothing will be reliable anymore. Or it'll just make the best shit ever.
it'll start being like humans like this and then it notices the mistakes and makes more of the same and then just slowly you just get this slippery slope of it liking its own stuff.
It gets
the amount of AI content right now online is insane. It's like I imagine the traffic for it I bet it outnumbers human.
Do we talk about the dead internet theory or was like maybe 50 or 80% of the internet is just bots and it's dead.
Yeah,
and now 80% of the content is also that being liked and commented on also by bots. Is this more dead?
Yeah.
There's no one humans alive anymore on the internet. Maybe this will go back. Everyone will like unplug. We'll start listening to vinyl again and reading real books, printed books. Who knows? But
hey, you could make a case for me that Stephen King's been allowed to use some sort of AI because that guy writes a shitty book every fucking 3 months.
Well, he uses a new alias all the time. That's his AI.
His hits are he's got some good ones.
But he writes so many books. All of them can't be winners, you know. You write so many books. You're so pro, you know.
But the best batters are what, 350, 375.
Yeah. You don't hit them all. Not all home runs. You're gonna, if you write so many, you're gonna be like, oh, people, he has shitty books. I'm like, yeah, he's a lot of shitty books. Yeah. He has a lot of good books too.
Anyway,
all right, Patreons? We got any Patreon supporters?
I'm gonna save them for next week.
Fuck yeah,
I'm saving
them. All right, and as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.